All last week, leaders in the global health community met in Amsterdam for the 22nd International AIDS Conference. And on Tuesday's program, we heard from a science advisor for UNAIDS on efforts to fight the epidemic globally. But within the United States, the HIV epidemic still rages on, especially among specific subgroups of the population. If the current trends continue, one in two Black gay men is expected to be diagnosed with HIV in their lifetimes. And that's compared to one in 99 Americans overall who will contract the virus. And according to estimates from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, 56% of Black transgender women are living with HIV. Tori Cooper is an HIV consultant and prevention specialist at a health center outside of Atlanta. And she's also a trans woman who helps target outreach to other trans women. Tori, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Tanzina.
So we know that the state of Georgia has one of the highest rates of HIV infection in any state. What does it look like on the ground from the work that you're doing?
So HIV is a huge epidemic across the world, but especially here in the South. I speak as a Black trans woman who lives here in the South, and what we're seeing is really institutionalized separatism and racism that really is affecting our overall health. It's affecting the way that we earn money. It's affecting our life expectancy. It affects the way that we access care and that we manipulate ourselves through the healthcare system. So it's really, really horrible. It looks very much like it did in 1989 versus 2018. So 20 years ago, as far as the healthcare system in Atlanta and even across the country.
What is driving that? Because you said 1989, and I remember, you know, growing up in that era where AIDS and HIV had just started to come to the surface and how difficult it was in that era. What do you think is driving the current rates of HIV infection in the communities that you're working with?
So there are a number of different drivers, some of which, you wrote a great article titled, Where's the Empathy in, for Black Poverty and Pain? And some of the issues that you addressed in that article are some of the issues that we see in the trans community. There's homophobia, there's transphobia, and those are two things that are keeping people out of care. We're seeing systematic oppression. We're seeing where systems and healthcare systems really aren't addressing the social determinants of health. That's poverty, that's homeless, that's lower education and literacy levels. And, you know, as Black trans people, on average, we earn less than $10,000 a year. So we have to add that in as another factor as well. Some people just don't have the money to get back and forth to doctor's appointments, or they may not have the health literacy to be able to know, well, when I come back in 6 months, does that mean 6 months from today, or does that mean 6 months from when I first got my diagnosis? You know, there are a bunch of different factors that play in, and our current healthcare system doesn't really address all of those different things. Instead, it just kind of assumes you know how to manage it, and that's an assumption that's costing people's lives.
Also, I'm curious about two things. You mentioned the literacy around this, and I wonder if we are at a point where HIV is something that's considered a manageable disease these days, and because of the medications that we have, you mentioned the magical antiviral load. Is there not enough literacy, or is there not enough public education about the dangers of HIV, about the transmission of HIV, about the need to be tested? Like, is there just not that conversation happening enough at the public level?
So literacy and health literacy are similar, but two different things. So when it comes to first literacy and literature, trans people, we often aren't represented in marketing campaigns. We still see commercials that are mostly white, cisgender men, and pretty much across the board in marketing. And that's not who the epidemic prioritizes anymore. The fastest rates of new infections aren't among white men. And so what we need to see is we need to see marketing campaigns that represent who the fastest and most impacted groups are. And then on the health literacy side, for a person who may know their diagnosis, being able to read a bottle and know the difference between take with food and take with a meal is what we call health literacy. And for some people, that can be more of a challenge than actually taking the one pill a day. You know, everybody's not on a one pill a day regimen.
Well, let's talk about those pills, though,
yes.
Because I feel like, at least in New York, we've been seeing a lot of advertising on the subways and on buses for the drug PrEP. Is the community able to access drugs like PrEP or PEP? And for our listeners who don't know what these are, PrEP is a pill that people with high risk of exposure to HIV can take to prevent them from contracting the disease. And PEP is a drug that you can take after you've been exposed.
So your question, is there access? And
right.
Yes, there is access. The thing is that a lot of trans people don't know that it's for them. And we hear every day people saying, well, I'm not going to take PrEP because I'm not going to be able to afford it. Because we're not doing a great job, that's not just us, but that's across the board, we're not doing a great job of letting people know that for some people, they may not have to pay for PrEP at all. So we don't make sure to get the message out to people. And look at the thing of PEP, P-E-P, post-exposure prophylaxis. We don't make sure that people understand that if you have potentially come in contact with HIV, you have 72 hours to get on PEP, and it could keep you from ever getting HIV, even if you've had unprotected sex. We're doing a horrible job at delivering those messages to people, especially the people who can benefit the most from it.
I'm wondering, Tori, before we wrap up, when you look out at the landscape going forward, are there any opportunities for success?
So there are a number of bright spots, and there are still many more opportunities for success. Bright spots are when people tell me, so I went to the doctor and I had my 6-month checkup and I'm undetectable. That's amazing, because what undetectable viral loads mean is that that person cannot pass HIV along to their sexual partners. And so if we could get every person who has HIV to an undetectable viral load consistently, what it does is it means nobody can pass HIV along. And that's how one of the ways that we could see an end to the HIV epidemic. So every time I hear those small victories, it is a big victory against HIV.
Tori Cooper is an HIV prevention specialist at a healthcare center in Georgia. Tori, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been my honor.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.